How are you guys today? Great. Are you enjoying the warm weather? Oh, it was nice, wasn't it? We're outside. I have funny days off, so I was off in the middle of the week, and we were outside, and we're tilling up the ground, digging in the dirt. It was so much fun till about 5 o'clock, and then I was done. But it was fun. It was good to be outside. What a fun Sunday. Baby dedication Sunday. Why don't we invite the Solviks up and Carrie and Brandon and the Steels up, Tracy and Jackson. I'm going to come up. These are our wonderful babies to be dedicated today. Oh, he's cute. Cassie, yes. Good. All right. So this is our baby dedication Sunday. I thought it would be appropriate before we do the dedicating and maybe talk real quickly about what it is we're actually doing. What is a baby dedication? Maybe it's easiest to start with what it is not. It is not, it has no bearing on salvation. It is not a guarantee of salvation at all. Instead, what it is a promise made by both the parents and our church family to do everything in our power to raise and influence, to love these children so that they will come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and that they will live lives committed to Him. In fact, this morning it's really more than a promise. What we're making is a covenant. And a covenant is much more than an agreement or a contract. Where an agreement or a contract has an ending, a covenant is permanent. Where a contract usually involves only one part of a person, such as a skill, a covenant involves your entire being. We are making a covenant today to each other, pledging our entire selves to these little ones, both the parents and us as a family. This isn't a contract that has an ending or is just talking about one little part of us. We are talking about a covenant that is never ending. We will give our lives to raise these children. It should encompass all of who we are. That we will do what we must, that these two will spend their lives worshiping the God of heaven. This is not something to be taken lightly. We are agreeing to give all that we have to raise them to know and to love God. Jeremy and Ashley, Tracy, and poor thing, you're here by yourself. All right. Buddy. Each of you have made a good faith statement of your faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that good faith statement, Jeremy and Ashley, do you covenant together with this family to raise, guide, and direct Milo Tate Solvik in the love of the Lord our God, to love the Lord our God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength? Church, do you covenant together with this family to support and encourage, help, and gently direct Milo Tate Solvik to love the Lord our God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength? Tracy and Peter, do you covenant together with this family to raise, guide, and direct Jackson Charles Steele to love the Lord our God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength? I do too. Church, do you covenant together with this family to support, encourage, and help gently direct Jackson to love the Lord our God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength? We do. Praise the Lord. Why don't you guys come together and let me just pray over these families and these two little ones. You guys come on in as well. Cassie and Brandon are the godparents for Milo. Lord, we thank you for these two little men, these two little warriors. Father, we pray, we just lift them up to you, Lord. We commit them to you. Ask that you bless them and keep them. May your face shine upon them. Be gracious to them, Lord, and give them peace. We pray, Lord, that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior at a young age, and that they would spend their lives on fire for you. Lord, would you make them passionate warriors for you, Lord? Pray that this world would be changed and transformed because of Milo's life. We pray, Lord, that this world would be changed and transformed because of Jackson's life. We just pray for these families. We pray for Jeremy and Ashley. We pray for Peter and Tracy, Lord. Give them strength and courage. Strength and courage, Father, to do the hard things, to be the oak trees that you need them to be, to raise these children in a culture that makes it harder and harder to raise them to love you. Lift them up to you, Lord. I ask that you would bless them and draw them ever closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Very good. We have their first little Bibles. You can start reading them stories. This is presented to Milo Tate Solvik by Harvest Church. And then to Jackson Charles Steele by Harvest Church. Thank you, guys. God bless you. Thank you. And before I forget, the little ones, the arrows, can be dismissed with Tracy. Yeah. All right, I thought it would be appropriate to use the rest of our time together this morning to look at maybe sort of a small sample, just a small sample of the wisdom found in God's Word regarding raising a child. You know, we've just covenanted together to do this, to help raise a child in the wisdom of God. What does it mean? What have we just gotten ourselves into? It's interesting, you know, parenting, in some regards, parenting is really easy. You see people doing it all the time. They've got kids and the kids are running around, and it's really not hard to be a parent unless you want to do it well. And if you want to do it well, then it becomes incredibly difficult. In fact, I would say it is one of the most difficult challenges that we can face. In fact, it is so difficult, I think it is one of the great failings of our culture and our society. Throughout history, we have seen this idea of raising and training children to be exceptionally difficult. You see the very first parents, Adam and Eve, their children struggled, Cain and Abel, and it has continued. Over history, we can see that training children well is more of the exception than the norm. That is why we come together as a family to dedicate these children, to say we will do our best, we will support the best that we can. We are committing as a church family to help raise these children. Think of King David. Here's a man who is so in love with God. He was so connected with God. The Lord says that the Messiah will come from his line. God says, this man is so great. The Messiah will come from his lineage. He would be called a man after God's own heart. He was a great warrior. The women of Israel sang songs about how David killed tens of thousands of men in battle. He was also a deeply passionate man in love with the Lord. So desperate to connect with God in deep, meaningful ways, he wrote much of the book of Psalms. This great man of God, a man after God's own heart. Really, an amazing man we can point to in many ways to say this is the type of man we should try to be in our relationship with God. And yet David failed with most of his children. He failed to raise them to love and fear God. In fact, his son Absalom tried to take control of the nation of Israel by force from his father. Remember, David was so connected with God that he had been anointed as the next king of Israel. It seemed to all the world as if Saul had been delivered into David's hand, and David said, "No, who am I to strike God's anointed king?" But David's son, his own son, tried by force to take over the nation of Israel. Absalom strayed so much, he committed some of the most horrendous crimes imaginable. In fact, I was thinking this week as I was looking at this, I'm like, you know what? If someone like Absalom had come into power today the way that he did in the Bible, even the U.S. and Russia would team together right now to oppose him. Don't believe me? Read about it in Scripture. It is horrific. The point is, this is a very important and yet a difficult area. So what do we learn from these short little verses that Roland read? These are just sort of real quick excerpts. Number one, it is our job to direct our children. It is our job to direct our children. You know, our culture has decided that our families should be child-centered. That is, the child should set the pace and the direction. What they do with the family, where they go, what they do, what they will wrap their family around. Our culture has said it will be dictated by the children. This is not biblical. In fact, it is devastatingly harmful to our children. It is devastatingly harmful to our children when we look at them and say, "You lead us and tell us where we go as a family. What are you interested in?" That's what we will do. We will drop this important stuff and we will focus on that. That is how we raise Absalom. He was a disgrace to his parents. The Bible says in the verse that Roland read this morning, it said, "Train up a child in the way he should go." It's interesting. It doesn't say, "Train up a child in the way they go." It doesn't say, "Train them up in whatever way they go, you just train them in that way." It doesn't say, "Train a child and hope they go your way." No. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go." It is our job to be directing. It is our job and responsibility as parents to direct, to guide, to gently nudge, and when needed, to firmly shove. You know, when babies are born, we've had 5 babies, so we have some experience with what babies are like when they're first born. They don't know how to do anything on their own. They can't do anything. Soraya was 6 weeks premature, and they told us that you learn the sucking motion needed to be learned. And I was like, "What are you talking? Are you telling me a baby doesn't know how to just suck when they're born?" Like, well, not if they're born too early. We'd put the pasty in her mouth, and she'd literally just stare at us like this. Like, what do I do with this? You have to train the children in everything. We have to teach them how to talk and how to walk, how to eat with silverware. What we're learning, what we're teaching them right now is how not to spit their food out at us. Well, the big kids have that down, but Jackson's still. We work tirelessly with them to use the bathroom instead of a diaper. We must direct and guide our children in everything. And yet somehow our world tells us that we have to direct and guide them in these little things, but the big, most important areas in life, they should just know. And they will just guide and direct themselves, and our job is to just support whatever they want to do. That is so counter to Scripture. And it's counter to the created order. You can look at a baby, and you can know intuitively we need to train that child. I don't know why we think that they will naturally know what is best, and we should take our cues from them. The Bible is clear, we are not to be child-centered. If we train them, if we set the tone, guiding them, directing them, pointing them to our great Father, the Bible says even when they are old, they will not depart from it. All right, how do we do this? How do we guide and direct? Well, we could spend the rest of our lives discussing this. I want to just take a real quick minute to share the first, most foundational step. And this will seem sort of, well, nothing happens without this, okay? And the first step is we must first live it ourselves. It's got to first be in us. Our children have to see it. If we want our children to live passionate lives for Jesus Christ, we must first model that for them. In Luke 6, Roland read that this morning, it says, everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. I love that verse. Everyone, when they are fully trained, will be like his teacher. Notice, it doesn't say everyone, when he is fully trained, will do what his teacher has instructed him to do. No. It's they will be like their teacher. There's no secret here. God is being very clear. How do we train up a child in the way he should go? We live it out. We have to live it out. My oldest name is Soraya, and my wife gives me a hard time because she is so amazing. She really blows me away. And because she sort of does more than should be expected of her, she's only 7 years old, because she does more, I expect too much of her. If I'm honest, I probably expect her to be more responsible and to obey better at 7 than I did at 27. Partly because she can do it. She's pretty amazing. Here's my wonderful daughter. She really is the apple of my eye. She just lights up my world. And my wife has told me several times throughout the year, she said, Peter, you've got to be careful with Soraya. You expect so much and you are harsh with her. She said, in fact, you have started to use Soraya's name like it is a curse word. I said, ooh, that's not good. She said, yeah, when you are frustrated with Soraya, you will literally say, Soraya. And she says, it comes out harsh and angry. And your daughter will start to feel like her word is not something, her name is not something she wants to hear from her father. And as you can imagine, that broke my heart. My daughter, she's the oldest of our five, and she has all of those wonderful oldest child attributes. She loves the babies, and she wants to take care of them. She's picking them up and walking around, even if she can't really carry them. You know, Jackson's so heavy, but she still tries because she's trying to nurture. She wants to care for them and be the mom to them, you know? She also, as the oldest, she's a little bit bossy to the others. She thinks she should really be in charge. So she'll start telling him what to do. Curry, go clean that up over there. Bella, you can be second. I'll go first. I'm in charge here, you know. So she'll start to tell the other kids what to do. And I don't remember what it was she was doing, but she was telling Curry to do something, and he wasn't listening. You know, they've sort of caught on. We don't need to listen. She's not mom, you know. So they're doing their own thing, and Saria tells Curry to do something, and he either didn't do it or wasn't doing it right. And she goes, Curry! And I said, Saria, we don't talk to our siblings like that. That's not kind and uplifting. Why would you talk like that? Oh my goodness, no sooner had the words come out of my mouth than the mirror flashed in front of me as I was saying, Saria! Oh, my daughter had learned how to act from her dad. This is not how I had instructed my daughter. I have never told my daughter, you may speak harshly to your siblings if they don't listen quickly, completely, and cheerfully. Never have I said you may use your siblings' names like a curse word if they're not doing what you want. Those words have never come out of my mouth. A disciple, when fully trained, will be like their teacher. She was like her dad. So what do we do? Well, we start by living the lives we want them to have. I am desperate for my children to love God. I am desperate for my children to do the little things necessary to stay connected with God for their entire lives. I am desperate for my children to pray to God, to read God's word, and to fellowship with other believers. I am desperate for that. What do I need to do if I want my children to do those three things? I had better be reading God's word, and they need to see it. I'd better be praying, and they need to see it. And I need to be fellowshipping with other believers, and they need to see it. This is foundational, and we talk about how do we raise our children in the fear of the Lord. We better have a fear of the Lord. They will be like their teacher. And the same thing is true as a church family. How do we support other families? How do we help encourage other families with young children? Same thing. As a family, we need to live this out. We must live out our faith. We must connect with our loving Father through prayer, mine through the precious nuggets of truth and wisdom in His Word. And we must commit to each other and the fellowship of the saints. We absolutely must do the little things to fan the flame of faith in our hearts. And it sometimes starts out this small little flame that you're really pumping. But if we're faithful, it'll grow bigger and bigger and bigger. The next generation. Remember, throughout history, we see generations rise up and not pass on the truth of who God is to the next generation, and the next generation paying an awful price. You look at the time of the judges. People will tell you that this is the darkest time in Israel's history. At the beginning of Judges, it tells us why. It says because when Joshua died, he was the leader before Judges. When he died, it says that Joshua and everyone who lived with him followed God, but they failed to pass on the fear of the Lord to the next generation. And because of that, they ushered in the darkest, worst time in the history of the nation of Israel. Over and over and over in history we see this. We don't pass on the truth of who God is to our next, to the next generation. This is why God is forever creating monuments and rituals and things to do to remember all that God had done. Remember, you know, Joshua forgot to pass it on to the next generation. God told them to take a stone from the middle of the Jordan when they were crossing through it, and he said, place one stone for each of the 12 tribes of Israel and make a pile of stones. He says, when your children ask you, what is this pile of stones? He tells them, that is an opportunity to talk about all God has done in your life. To pass on the fear of the Lord. God is even trying to help. And they still couldn't do it. Again, being a parent is difficult. Doing it well is probably the most difficult thing we have in life. But it is also the most important. We must do those little things in our own lives so that we can pass them on to the next generation. Our children's eternities are at stake. The whole next generation is. Let me pray and the worship team can come up. Father, I thank you for all of the little ones. Father, I thank you for all of the little ones here. I thank you for the fathers and the mothers, their heart for you, their desire, Lord, to raise these children up in the fear of the Lord, to love you with their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Pray, Lord, that you'd give each one of us your strength and your courage, an extra measure, Father, that we could live the lives that you desire us to live, to raise these children, to love you and spend their lifetime on fire for you. Thank you for your goodness and your grace, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.